Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, ahoy there mates and primates, bonobo buffs and blue wavers, welcome aboard Captain Max's birthday cruise. Yes indeed, it's a happy, happy birthday to Prince Max, and his full name being Prince Maximilian Rudolf Leblevich D. Lubkovitz D. Filangieri, Captain Max, the captain of my heart and the love of my life. Also, the publisher of The Bonobo Way. And it is the 6th anniversary of The Bonobo Way. That's right, it was Max's birthday present, and he also published it 6 years ago. And so, today, he has a very special birthday gift. Yes, indeed. Go Bonobos for the defeat of the big baby Mango Mussolini. Yes, the racist,
Capone.
Sexist. Cavone.
Cavone.
The pathological liar, the narcissistic Nazi, the big bully, who's also a baby. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an A-women?
A-women.
All right. Yes, indeed. Our voodoo apparently worked. If you tuned in to our appearance at DomCon last Saturday, on Halloween night at Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the Big Easy, we did a smashing Trumpkin scene that was quite dramatic. And apparently it worked, and of course, metaphorically speaking, we are bonobos, so we weren't smashing any humans. We were making juicing the Trumpkin. Yes, and in conjunction with all kinds of voters from all different points of view, an unprecedented number of voters, we have smashed the evil Trumpkin. Yes, we have. And no, Biden's not perfect. I'm not saying that, nor is Kamala. But neither of them are the tyrannical Trumpus. He has had us basically in a chokehold for 4 years. I can't breathe. That's the way I felt every day. And I know a lot of you did too. Maybe some of you really liked him, but he had a different kind of chokehold on you. Had the kind where it chokes so good, you know. Some people are into choking. It's a fetish. And I know some of you get off on it, and I get it. But enough already. It's a non-consensual chokehold, and it's killing us, okay? It is killing us. It has been, and it is continuing to. And so we have pulled it off our neck, And yes, love trumps hate, and that is the bonobo way. Whoops. And so we are very happy. So tonight we celebrate Max's birthday, the bonobo way, and the defeat of the narcissistic Nazi. Woohoo! Although you and I started celebrating this morning, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Yes.
And now I guess I can take my mask down. Although I wanted to represent, I feel so American. I even have an American flag on right by the Lubkowitz shield and the Yale shield. We have all kinds of symbology tonight. It's my 25th bedside chat of the coronapocalypse. That's right, in FDR's fireside chat style. I am so inspired by FDR, as is Joe Biden, by the way. And of course, Bernie, a lot of people are. And, you know, these are bedside chats to help you to get through these tough times. And we're doing it with respect to everything, interviews, celebrations. And this is a celebration of Max, who came over from Italy when he was a little boy. He was born in Italy at a little hospital next to the Vatican at 2 a.m. on November 8th, 1943, a descendant of many princes and princesses on both his Lubkowitz and Filangieri side, and his most famous ancestor being Gaetano Filangieri, who you might want to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, yes, that was, yeah.
But I guess this picture is very critical to Max's story, and I hope he gets to tell a lot of his story tonight, because this is the picture of the ship that he was on that took him as a refugee, as an immigrant, across the sea. And it took little Prince Max and a bunch of other princes and princesses and other people across the Atlantic Ocean from Italy to the Statue of Liberty?
From Italy to Nova Scotia to New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on the back,
so this was the ship that I came to America on. And this is the last menu, or the last supper. Now, I've sealed it in, so I can't really tell you what was on there, but I can probably guess it was some pasta, at least. And ice cream for dessert, maybe, or cake. And this is the ship that took me across the ocean, across the Great Lake, to meet my love, Dr. Susie. It was 1951.
I wasn't even born yet. No. I want to get that straight.
Right.
But I was in your mind.
You were. And I came to this country as an immigrant, with a wave of immigrants, because it was after the Second World War, and most of the Italian immigrants arrived here with false papers because they didn't have computers then. So you went down to the city clerk in Rome and you paid him a few bucks and he made whatever, you know, whatever papers you needed, he made them. My dad was in American intelligence before it became the CIA. So, like all the wars that America's been in, when they win, when they conquer, then they have to let all these other people in. Of course, because otherwise those people are going to get killed in the old country. Right? Yeah, so. So, I came over here. I came over on the ship called Italia. And it landed in New York. I came to New York, and I had never seen anything like that. One of the things I was told about America, that it was the land of freedom, the land where you could pursue your dreams and so forth. And so I landed in New York, and I was just 7 years old. I was a little boy. It was fucking cold, okay? And it was freezing cold. And there were these big yellow cars, taxis, big yellow taxis. And I had never seen anything quite so big. And I was just thrilled. And we all got into the car and we're driving to where we're gonna be staying. And my mother says, "Why in such a rich country does everybody sell salt?" Salt. In Italian, sale or sale means salt. And so as we're driving, she goes, "Everybody sells salt here. It's like Italy, okay." And I was very privileged. I was a privileged little white boy. But not only that, an ancient privileged white boy. A white boy whose family not only inspired in philosophy and culture and art and so forth, but they were also war criminals. Just like we have today. And the most interesting part for me right now, being 77 years old, I was born in the middle of a war. I'm a war baby. And it's 70 some odd years later, and we're at war. That's a sad state. A sad, very sad state. So I came here, I believe, totally in freedom. And when I was a young man, I moved out to California. And I slept in the police pound up by Hollywood High School. And I slept in a big Lincoln Continental. It was like sleeping in your living room. And I would climb under the fence every night. And then I would eat by going during lunch to Hollywood High, and the kids would have their sandwiches in there and their cigarettes and so forth. So I was hungry, and nobody locked their doors then. So I would take a half a sandwich from one guy, you know, and another half a sandwich from somewhere else, and a cigarette here, and a Coke there. And that's how I lived for a while, until I got my big Hollywood break. I went into a employment place, and the woman said to me, "You know, I was a handsome young man, I guess," and she said, "Are you an actor?" And as it turns out, I was, because I was acting in Italy. And she said, "I'm going to send you to somebody that may be able to help you." And and I met this big Hollywood producer who had all these Debbie Reynolds and Tab Hunter and all of these old big movie stars. And he didn't believe my name was Maximilian, but he said I was going to be the next Hollywood legend. And I did want to hear that. And he said, "Listen, why don't we have dinner tonight, and we'll talk about your future." And I thought, wow. I've hit the big time, apparently. I'm going to be Hollywood's next sensation. And so we had dinner, and then he said, "Well, listen, why don't we, why don't you come up to the house, and you know, we'll have a drink and talk about your future and what you want to do and what you've worked in." And I said, "Okay, sure." And we drive up to his mansion up in, it was up in the Hollywood Hills. And we go in and we sit down, just like we're sitting here. And he says, "You know, you're going to be all right." And listen, whatever your deal is, it's cool. So I realized what was going on. Talk about me too, right? I realized what was going on, and I said, "Okay, my my career is, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else," because I was totally bored anyway. Because I used to work in theater in Italy, and there's one about actors, and I guess all of us as human beings. How many you guys have sat around with actors? Okay, the conversation is always the same. Always the same. "It was 1925, and the funniest thing happened on the set." And everybody's like, they never heard the story. And they're very much like Trump in a way, which they should be, because you kind of have to be self-centered to sell yourself, you know. Realize anyway that nobody else is going to sell you. So I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Forget his name." I said, "Excuse me a minute. I gotta go to the, you know, beep beep beep." And he said, "Yeah, sure, just go down this hallway and then over there." And I said, "Okay, I'll be right back." And I got to the bathroom and I climbed out the window and ran like a madman down to Hollywood Boulevard. And that was the end of my acting career in Los Angeles, California. And I always loved that. So many years later, I met this woman. Right here. This is my wife, okay? I don't know what kind of wife you guys got at home, but this is my wife. And, well, okay. That's okay, I'm just cutting out in my headsets. Okay, so we hooked up many, many years ago. But before that, I got so involved in politics and that kind of thing that I started a newspaper with my friend Paul Eberly and Shirley Eberly of the Los Angeles Free Press, and we built a tremendous paper. And in building that paper, we also collected a bunch of arrests. I call them my chevrons. So I have 23 of these chevrons at least. And they charged me with whatever they could. Everything. Espionage. Black boxes for Steve Jobs. I used to sell his black boxes, his blue boxes. But he wouldn't defend us. Mm-hmm, I'll get it. And, all right, so, what was I? Oh, yeah, so I got involved in politics. I got involved in making a newspaper, and in spite of myself, because I'm not really a brilliant human being, but in spite of myself, this newspaper grew and grew. And I credit that to some very interesting journalism and lots of tits and ass. That made it grow a lot. And pretty soon we were getting invited to all the mayor's deals and parties and the Playboy Mansion, of course, and which I got disinvited from. Because I guess we didn't review it very well in our own newspaper, you know. And I've been raided by the police. Like I said, I've been called every name in the book. I'm the second person in this country to be judged as depraved. Also, I've never been charged of being depraved. I've been charged of other things, but not depravity. you know, so... Then I met this lady here when she first had her first radio show. Yeah, I'm cutting out a lot of stuff, so I'm just moving along, right? Okay. So she sent this guy down to my office to sell me an ad. Well, you know, he was all right. But apparently we said no. And then a few days later... She shows up in short safari pants and boots and I'm sitting over there and looking out the door and they're saying, there's this Susan Block would like to see you. I peeked out the door and I said, okay, I'll see her. you know, I'm old fashioned. I love women. Hey, what can I do? You know, I love flirting. I love sex, obviously. And after all these years, this is what I've been doing for many years, is to use sex as a vehicle to reach people like the Trumpers. Yeah. And to reach people who might not otherwise even start to think about what I think about, because I'm a capitalist socialist. I basically believe that that you need to be good. You need to be good. And I believe in revolution. And I believe in evolution. And one of the reasons that I talk this way is because I was brought up as a little prince. And the little prince had to do good. And they taught me my manners, and they taught me all of these things. It took a long time before I was allowed to sit at the dinner table. Because I didn't know how to hold my books under my arms. You know, and so I became what was considered a lefty radical pornographer, evil son of a bitch. But I printed everything. You sent me something, I print it. It's like Chico runs around with his ass up in the air. Somebody sent me a picture of their asshole, I publish it. Big, nice, you know, not like some big, beautiful. Like they're important, you know, so. What else? You want to ask me a question? You want to tell me?
What was your favorite magazine that you published? You published several. L.A. Star, Love, Hate, Finger, Brentwood Blah Blah, Beverly Hills The Magazine, Dr. Susan Block's Speakeasy Journal. Lots of magazines.
Lots of magazines. Lots of magazines. And I think one of my favorite is my latest, our latest, which is Speakeasy Magazine, and is available on Amazon, the first issue. The second issue, they wouldn't let me...
this is the issue that's available on Amazon,
right.
Is Splosh and Art.
Right. But if you order it from us, you also get mayo and ketchup with the magazine. So... You can start your own splosh and splashing,
yeah,
and licking and fucking and sucking.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You have to provide your own hamburger, though.
What's his name sends it to you from his warehouse or wherever he gets it, that's all you get. That's it.
Now, speaking of Jeff Bezos,
yes,
he would not publish
that one.
Spankin' Art. And that's because it's, I guess, got a picture of him, his dick pic. There it is. Or maybe it's because there's a few other dick pics in it. But in any case, this is available on our site. We have a new shopping cart.
We do. We have a brand new shopping cart, which we've been working on. We have a brand new bar. And in the shopping cart, you're going to find things that you won't find in most shopping carts. Just let me put it to you that way. And it is a collection of 30 years of our work, with some of really the best photographers in L.A. and from around the world. In fact, both of these magazines are really photo magazines, and they come from different shows. I call them paper theater versus the electronic version. This is the paper theater. And it's beautifully done. And by it was designed with Max, with
Clemmy,
who did a tremendous job, and this is the second issue of it. Mm-hmm. And here's how I do this, because everybody goes, how do you make a magazine? It's 200. You print it in blocks. You start with 100, then you sell the 100, then you sell another one, and until you finally sell a ton of them. But by then, you'll probably be dead, and the magazines will be worth much more than you.
There are some famous people in this magazine, such as Nina Hartley, and many more. And Dominatrix is against Donald Trump when we were beating him and holding Russian hooker pee parties. And, you know, Spanksgiving is coming, if you're tuned in live, the holidays. So, Spankin' Art, perfect for Spanksgiving. Okay, well, that's very nice that you like those magagines best.
I like that.
What about, let's say, your hardcore sex magazines?
My favorite magazine of that genre is God magazine.
God.
God published kind of what I consider sometimes the real America, the real underbelly of American sexuality. Things, by the way, that you can't do nowadays. You know, you can't. Like, you can't say, you know, we should decapitate them.
Mm.
That's not something you can say today. But in these magazines and people, the outpouring of violence and hate and not understanding was extraordinary, and it was all done with Polaroid photos.
Now, didn't that guy that used to work for Trump, I forget his name now, but he published Breitbart News, didn't he say that some people should be decapitated?
Yes, right.
In the Biden group, I think he said.
No, Republicans should be.
Republicans?
Yeah, if he won. That would be the first thing.
So he's saying Republicans should be decapitated?
Yes, yes.
If who won?
If Trump won.
If Trump won, he would chop off the heads of the Republicans who didn't support him?
No, it wasn't even that. It was just a philosophical thing between, I think it was, who was he talking? Barr? Yeah, and someone else, you know, and...
Barr has bent over backwards for Trump. He's become
lawyer. I know.
Mm.
Yeah, which the court said they can't do.
Okay, well.
And Bannon got kicked out of Italy.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon.
He's the one that was talking about the chopping of heads.
He was trying to start a fascist institute in an old monastery for which the poor farmer whose land it's on gave it to him for some $12,000 a year. This huge place.
It's a good deal.
And so the Italian government stepped in. No, you gotta go bye-bye. Get out of here.
So, and then he got busted for using funds he raised to build Trump's wall for his own luxurious lifestyle. And it's funny because my publisher, Jeffrey St. Clair at Counterpunch, he said that's what he thinks that Trump's people and Trump himself are probably doing with the funds that they're raising to fight all these votes in different cities and states all over the country to stop the vote or to challenge the vote, these lawsuits. And he's raising a lot of money among his adoring supporters. And Jeffrey thinks that's for grifting, that money. Yep. Well, it looks like we're going to get the grifters out of the White House. And just for your birthday, this is what happens.
I am just thrilled to have been a very small part of a huge movement.
Yes.
Against this guy. I mean, I feel like a winner today.
Yeah. I've never felt so engaged in a political process that seems to have been successful. I mean, I've been in huge political processes like protests against wars, but I don't know, they didn't really succeed in stopping these wars. Certainly our huge protests against the Iraq War didn't stop that.
Yeah.
And the Vietnam War, eventually that did stop. But this has been very galvanizing, and I must say we've been joined with people who we don't agree with on a lot of subjects, a lot of, you know, very conservative people are in this movement, this resistance, and then there are, you know, kind of radical progressives like us and sex revolutionaries like us who just have had enough of the lying and the racism and the sexism and just the narcissism and the bullying that has been going on that goes way beyond political parties.
The idiocy that is representing us. This is a guy that represents us, all of us.
Oh, I think he might want to wish you a happy birthday, Chris Gagliardi.
Somebody wants to, okay.
Also, you know, kind of join in the celebration of the defeat of Trump.
Oh, yes.
And
hey,
he's worked very hard, to help defeat
Trump.
We
have all worked so hard
to
do that. We have.
And he's out there in New Jersey. Can we speak with him, Chris? Is he there?
Yes, I am here. How are you?
Well, we are celebrating Max's birthday, the Bonobo Way anniversary, and the defeat of Trump.
Yes, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Captain Max. Happy birthday to you. Well, it's a big birthday present for both of us because, and a great day for democracy because, and I just want to call to first of all say a huge thank you to you, Dr. Block, because of your efforts and because of the way you handled this whole thing through the power of peace through pleasure and because of brave souls like you and the industry with the adult entertainers and sex workers, we were able to finally end this dark night and bring a great sunrise to our country once and for all. And I really feel that it is because of your efforts, your names will be etched into the annals of history in the books forever time. And I cannot say your praises enough. And my little Twitter thread, I did make mention of you guys strongly with this important message of gratitude, because we have a long road ahead and we cannot turn back, and the real work is beginning today. I heard Joe Biden's speech this evening, and my God, he really is ready to bring this whole country back to its glorious place, and it is our turn now to not only build America better, but make America sexier. I believe 2021 will be the year that the bonobo movement and the sex movement will become even stronger because of brave people like you and Mistress Tara and so forth. So you guys should be praised strongly.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for your birthday wishes for Max, and thank you for your support of the Bonobo Way and all your wonderful tweets about me and the show. And you know Biden wasn't my first choice. You know that. Bernie was. But hey, I'm a team player. I got into this to get Trump out, and he did it. He got Trump out, and with Kamala's help. And I'm all for that, and I'm all for his message of healing. I like healing. I think that's a good message.
Yeah.
And not only that, I'm also for bringing people together, including the Trumpers. I'm into bringing everyone together, you know. And I think Biden says that. You know, I don't like all his neoliberalism, but I do like the message of unity, and I do like the message of healing. And certainly we need to heal physically, medically, and mentally. Oh, and here's my drink, speaking of healing. Thank you, Anna.
There you go.
Oh, yes. Cheers.
Oh, and that's vodka and a little Coke.
Okay. So
yes. I'm going healing, to just... a referendum in New Jersey recently passed this past Tuesday on medicinal marijuana usage.
All right. Medicinal marijuana usage passed in a lot of places. And yes, I'm so proud of New Jersey for doing that, and that is such a wonderful thing. And let's smoke some pot.
No. Oh, whatever.
Oh, we're celebrating, you know.
Yeah, and I have my new baby cat that was just recently introduced to my life.
Oh, and, nice. Really, yes, I know your other cat passed away, so congrats on your new kitty.
Yeah, she's a funny kitten. She can be funny. She's got a squeaky meow that could really make everyone smile. But I will tell you this. What we have to do now is more than ever before to bring the Peace Through Pleasure movement truly to life, and not only in our country, but the world at large. And I cannot thank you guys enough, not only for the support that you have given me and the love you've given me this past year, but I will say this, every effort that we fought so hard together for is not going to be in vain. So we have a lot of work to do, but the work has begun. So I cannot sing praises enough to you guys. So I give you my best wishes for 2021 ahead of time. And definitely a Christmas card and so forth will be on its way to you as well. So happy birthday, Captain Max.
Please thank you
take
so
good
much.
Care. Stay well.
Yes,
stay safe, stay
we're,
healthy,
we're staying safe,
and
we're
see
being
you in the
good.
New year.
Yeah.
And you keep up the good work, Chris. You've done some really, really good work, and you've won awards for it. Great bonobo political activist, Chris Gagliardi, out there in New Jersey, just part of the resistance.
Where from in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Englewood.
Englewood, okay.
Englewood.
Okay.
It's near New York City, near the bridge.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Montclair, New Jersey. When I came,
I've swung by through that area. It's a really beautiful place.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
And I'm starting to become a journalist, actually, again. And my Autistic American series will be back up in par in a few weeks.
All right.
Because of all this craziness that's been going on.
Yeah.
You're a
all
great
right.
spokesman for autistic people. And I know every autistic person is different, but you certainly bring the situation to light, Chris, in a great way. And I just want to give a shout out to my fellow Philadelphians. Excuse me, Philly puts it over the top again. Philly defeated King George and Philly has defeated Donald Trump. It was down to the wire, okay? And most of Pennsylvania went for Trump, I think. But Philly is where it's at, and that's where I'm from. And not just Center City, where I have to admit, I was born there, but I grew up in Montgomery County in Bala Cynwyd, and that is where the votes came in, the votes that Trump was courting, those votes from suburban housewives, which he then amended to, suburban women. And yeah, those Philadelphia suburban women, yep, I grew up with them, and they're great people, and they voted for Biden. Yep. They're an important part of the blue wave, and thanks to Philly and our Philadelphia Freedom and the Philly girls that you used to watch on American Bandstand.
Oh, my God.
We American smashed Bandstand. The Trumpkin. Yeah, okay, yeah. Chris, you keep it going.
Yeah.
Take care.
I'll see you guys soon.
Okay, be safe. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I have a happy birthday wish from Facebook from Jux Lee, and he says smoke pot. So he's commenting.
Jux Lee. By the way, my finger floggers, blue, of course, for the blue wave. It's not really a blue wave, more like a squirt.
Which you'll be able to get in our new little shop.
Yes.
Yes. Jux, we've just opened this new shop, which...
Dr. Block's Pleasure Shop. So you can get finger floggers because, you know, you can wear them as jewelry or you can give your lover little smacks, like little birthday smacks.
Oh, my goodness. Hold it.
Birthday smacks. And you can also wear these like earrings or use it as a key ring. I think that's what it initially was for, but I said, these are for rings. Finger floggers. Woo! So thank you, Jux, and we should definitely be smoking pot. By the way, I have a piece right now in Counterpunch. It's a farewell to our good friend, Dr. Betty Dodson, who passed away, and she was 90, 91.
Wow.
And she said that the three things she attributed her longevity to were pot, garlic, and masturbation keeps you living a long time. Not necessarily to do at the same time, although you could, because, you know, if you eat garlic, you might as well play with yourself, because nobody else is going to want to kiss you. So
unless they eat garlic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you both eat it, which we do sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. So, So Betty Dodson, of course, she's known for much more. She was the godmother of masturbation. And she was a sex revolutionary, anti-war activist, a bonobo way supporter. Mm-hmm. And she was just a great friend who actually gave me my first orgasm. Not personally, but her book. And you can read more about it on Counterpunch. So it's sad to say goodbye to Betty Dodson, great lady, but it's great that she lived such a long time and that she did so much for so many of us. And the great thing about having one birthday after another is that, you know, you're still alive, but your friends start leaving, don't they?
Yes. All my heroes, all my friends are gone.
Well, not all.
Well, not all of them, but there's a couple left. There's a few left.
Yeah.
But hey, if you get to be 77 and, as the dentist says, you have some of your teeth, then you're in good shape. And I've been a very, very lucky traveler on this... on this thing they call Earth. It's like things were given to me in a way I never expected. My family's background has told me never to think about money, ever. In fact, don't even talk about it, okay? It's really gauche. And then what my grandfather taught me is just fucking spend it all, because you can't take it with you. And when he died, when he was in his bed dying, and I was sitting next to him, he said, "You know, Miki," that's my nickname in Italian, Miki. "You know, Miki, I have nothing to leave except a tradition. Gone are the hotels, gone are the vineyards, gone are the..." Yeah, but tradition, and that was good. And that stuck, you know, stuck with me. And it was all about doing good. And I was brought up, because of the war, I was brought up by three women. My aunt, who was a really quite noted artist in Italy. My mother and my great-grandmother, who was the grand dame of the family. She ran, she was in charge. She was it. And one thing that they always told me, all of them, well, I didn't have a choice. It was three against one, is be nice to girls, okay? You be nice to girls. Don't hurt no girls, no, okay? And I thought,
Interesting.
And they were wonderful. They were really, my great, I was a mess. I was like a little terrorist kid.
Like Chico.
Yeah, like Chico. Man, I was nuts. I was crazed. But my great-grandmother, I could do no wrong.
That's nice.
It was like Trump. I could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and she'd go, "Oh, he's such a nice boy." She was great. She was great, yeah.
That's good to have one person in your life like that, but it's also good to have other people that challenge you a bit, like your dad.
My dad was an extraordinary man.
Prince Lobkowitz.
Yeah, Prince Lobkowitz. And he took me aside one day and he said, You know, Maximilian, you're a prince. Imagine your look.
How old was he? How old were you?
I was like 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he said, "You're a prince."
Yeah. Ooh. And I said, "Oh, okay. I mean, what do I got to do?" He says, "Nothing. Just remember who you are.
And be nice to girls." No.
No, my dad, if he was alive today, would have had to resign from whatever he was doing, because he was a real ladies' man. So I'll tell you this, because they're all dead now, so they can't be prosecuted. So my dad and Senator Kefauver and a bunch of senators in Washington, D.C., they decided to do redevelopment. So my dad and Kefauver and all the people involved knew that whole areas of Washington, D.C. would be redeveloped. So they went, and this, by the way, this was mostly black neighborhoods, of course, and they went in and bought all the houses, hundreds of houses, because then they were going to sell it back to the government, you know, for a lot more. And so for the opening of this company that was going to do this, they had a big party. Lyndon Johnson was invited.
Wow.
Kennedy couldn't make it. There were a bunch of senators there, and the company rented the whole hotel and flew everybody in from around, literally around the world for this opening of this this thing. And so we're there. There's a bunch of people. I don't know who senators, who was what then at the time, but they were all like Washington kind of folks, and they were all waiting. And then Vice President Lyndon Johnson showed up, and you know, and he said, he's there for a few minutes, and he says, "Where's the prince?" "Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President, he's not here yet." Okay. And so I went on for a little while, and suddenly my dad shows up at the door.
The prince.
Yeah, the prince shows up, and he goes in, and Johnson comes up to him, and he says, "You're late." And my dad looked at him, and he said, yeah, you know what? You're just a vice president. I'm a prince. So I can arrive whenever I want."
Wow.
And everybody just cracked up laughing. Anyway,
wow.
then they gave me a job, okay? They had this company now. They bought these hundreds of houses. And they said, "Okay, Max, we're going to hire you. And you are going to go collect the rents."
Oh, gosh.
I said, "I'm going to go collect the rents." "Oh, that's funny." "Okay." He says, "Don't worry about it. You take the limousine and you just go there and you get the rent." Uh-huh. Okay. All righty. So here we are in the worst part of Washington, D.C., and this limousine is cruising down the street. And I got my little paper there. I go, "Okay, here, they owe rent here. Okay, stop the car. Let me go." So I got out of the car, and my legs were trembling. And I walked up to the door, and... And I said, "Yes, can we help you?" I said, "I'm here to, to collect the rent and, make arrangements." And the guy said, "I think you're in the wrong place, young man." And I went back to my limousine, and I said, "I think we have to leave now. I don't think I can do this right now." So that was the end of my job at this new company. And it was a learning experience. It was a learning experience as to how much racism is fed into you to create those kinds of fears of other human beings. And it's not, you're not born with it. You're not born with it.
You learn it.
You learn it as you hear how your parents talk and how your neighbors talk and
how your president talks.
And how your president talks, right? That's how you learn that. Because otherwise, we're just a bunch of folks sitting on a rock that's floating around Earth, and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And there's nothing going on except, as Major Gerard there said, life is for living. You live. And having said that, then I want to tell you why I'm such a crusader in a way, why I don't mind. Take my handcuffs. Handcuff me. Come on. Do I have any guns? Of course I don't have guns. Don't you read my newspaper?
And what else did your mother say besides be nice to girls? She said be nice to police.
Yes, she said be nice to the police, for they are ignorant and they know not what they do.
That sounds like something Jesus would say.
And that's what she said.
Right.
Yeah. Because I was there during the Red Brigades. And the Red Brigades were a little bit like Antifa.
Mm.
There's really
right.
There's no center. There's only this one professor mm-hmm. who talks about cultural problems.
Yeah.
And all his followers go out and kneecap the journalists.
Wow.
But there's no Red Brigade.
And police also.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
were they anti-fascist?
Who?
The Red Brigades.
The Red Brigades were anti-capitalist.
Anti-capitalist.
Yes.
Well, you know, fascism springs from capitalism out of control.
You know,
fascism doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of capitalism.
Well, you know, here's the problem with the capitalism. There's only so many resources, and we're running out of them.
Well, Jeff Bezos has most of them at this point.
Well, okay, he's got a lot of them. And also I grew up with people like John D. Rockefeller that used to come to our house.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit.
About America or anybody.
About anything. Except the Rockefellers. And that's kind of the way you have to think. If you're going to be one of them, everybody else is just some kind of peasant of some sort,
mm.
you know, that just needs to follow instructions. So, yeah. So these guys tried. These are right wing people that got themselves into office. And are trying to undo the work, and I take it very personally, to undo the work that I've been doing for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yes.
You know, these are Republicans who want government out of your life, who are telling you what you can do, what you can't do.
Well, they want government out of your pocketbook, not yours.
No.
They want it out of their pocketbook and the pocketbooks of their donors. But they definitely do want government in your life when it comes to
what
like
read.
A woman's body.
Yes, or
you
what
know,
you
the
read.
Government should get right in there with her and her doctor when she's trying to decide what to do about an unwanted pregnancy. So that's pretty invasive for a bunch of people that say they're for government staying out of your life.
And the whole thing is pretty invasive. The car searches, the no-knock
right.
warrants, this electoral college. We're the only country, the only democracy in the world that has an electoral college. And the only reason is theirs to protect their interests.
Well, it's a vestige of
right.
slavery, of the slavery
right,
days,
right, right,
when the
right.
slaveholders wanted to be sure to have an equal number of votes at that time to the non-slave
well,
states.
Well, slavery has changed now.
Ooh.
It's changed.
Yes.
Now they're volunteers.
Okay.
Yeah. They're volunteers to go slave at the office.
Yeah, and then there's prison.
Yeah.
That's a whole other form of slavery.
And there's all of that going on.
And they do make them work. I mean, a lot of our marvelous firefighters fighting these fires all through California and other
inmates.
Parts of the country are prisoners.
Yeah.
And they're protecting us.
But, you know, so these Nazis, these right-wingers, have never achieved anything because from before Hitler to Hitler and then to Mussolini, they all ended up hanging out together. And when I say hanging out together, meaning hanging upside down from a gasoline pole.
Mussolini and his mistress.
Yeah, and his mistress, right. Mm. Right. So it's all very nice, and they're all very nice. They're very good, but they need an education. They need some clarity. They need to understand that if you don't give voluntarily, okay, the peasants are going to be at the door.
That's what happened in the French Revolution.
Right, that's what happened in the French Revolution.
That's what happened in the Russian Revolution.
And I think it was, who was it?
It's what happened in the Cuban Revolution.
Exactly.
So if you guys don't want it. The communists to take over,
over,
you better have a little bit
wealth.
Of communism, a little bit of socialism in your capitalism.
And a little sharing
that's
and a little giving.
That's what is needed in a good capitalist society is a little bit of socialism. And we need a lot more right now because otherwise, you know, we're going to destroy life on Earth.
Right.
If we don't, because there's no incentive for capitalism to be environmentalists. No capitalist incentive for companies to do good for the Earth. So it doesn't make them money. And no matter how much we talk about all these jobs, maybe we will have some jobs, but basically, we're going to have to give a little just to live longer on this rock.
Well, what I don't understand about that whole thing is if you have a poor population that can't buy your product.
Yeah.
That's stupid. You have to redistribute the wealth. Just like you do with the farmers. You do that with the farmers and the grain and the food suppliers.
Mm.
They need to be supported. Just like the poor Puerto Rican mom or the poor black mom or the poor white mom in Kentucky needs to be supported. They need to be loved. They need to be part of our society.
Humanity is a community, and yeah. That's an aspect of the Bonobo Way. Is to share.
To
you know,
share.
There are alpha bonobos. There's really not much of an alpha male. There's an alpha female, but she's not lording it over the other bonobos like the alpha chimpanzee equivalent human-wise is the trumpanzee. But in any case, the bonobos are all about sharing. Sharing sex, sharing food, sharing resources. And we can learn a lot from them.
And very important, exchanging resources.
Yeah.
Exchanging.
Like, I'll give you a kiss if you give me a banana.
That's right. You should learn
or
from...
I'll suck your banana if you
You should learn
give
from the wonderful hookers. Hey, look, I got a pussy. You give me $5. You have 4 minutes. And that's it. Just like a lawyer. You know, a lawyer. They charge you so much a minute. You know, okay.
I'm hoping that we can do away with Sesta Fosta and some of this terrible stuff that makes sex workers' lives so dangerous.
We need to convince, we need to educate not only the rednecks and these people that really have been given the short end of the stick.
The banana.
The short end, the banana. We need a way to educate and to enlighten. And one of my great relatives, Gaetano Filangieri, he was a man, he was friends with Benjamin Franklin at the time.
Mm-hmm. And I think he corresponded with Thomas Jefferson.
Yes, Thomas Jefferson, right.
His ideas are in the Declaration of Independence.
And one of those ideas is a really simple idea. And that is, how can anything work if you can't pursue your happiness?
Mm.
The pursuit of happiness. Most people are miserable.
Yeah.
Most people are fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Me, I'm the poorest man in the fucking world. And you know what? We're all so fucking rich here.
You're pretty happy.
You know, I'm pretty happy. I'm fucking thrilled. Are you kidding
and
me?
It's true. A lot of rich people are not happy.
Right.
A lot of rich people are miserable because...
And they're divorcing
they're
and
paranoid.
They're fighting
Somebody's
and they're
take
paranoid.
Their money.
And they can't move. They're in prison. Mm. They're imprisoned in their estates.
Well, especially now
yeah.
in the corona apocalypse.
And finally, the demonstrators are starting to understand, you go to their house. Here,
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you.
I don't think that's a bad idea. You know, as long as you're nonviolent.
Yeah, right.
Why not yell outside their house? I think that's when they yelled outside the LADA's house. That was the beginning of the end for her, and now we have a new DA, I think.
Speaking of DAs, yes, we have a new DA. What's his name? Gaston was a Gascon. Which is Forte.
It sounds like Forte, some kind of French guy.
Yeah, French guy.
I don't know.
Gaston.
Sorry if I'm offending anyone because I'm mispronouncing his name.
I like him too. He was a cop for, I forget how many years.
But he wants to reform the cops.
Yes, but he says, I am going to prosecute the cops.
Yeah.
That kill.
The cops that kill.
Yeah.
They're killers like any killers.
Absolutely.
Except worse, because
they do it under the color of law. Under the color of law, and that's not, these are public servants.
They're supposed to protect and serve.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, and I know everybody's going to get all upset and everything. If anybody takes a bullet first, it's those who protect us. They're the first responders. They're just like the children we sent to war.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dangerous...
And that used to be their motto, really. And it's only been... rather recently, the last couple of decades, that it's kind of in the training manual that you are supposed to protect yourself and your fellow police officers way, way before the civilians you're supposed to be protecting and serving.
So here's a question. Mm-hmm. Who goes home first? The citizen or the protector? Who's standing in front of the citizen to save him from violence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, you know, hopefully nobody gets a bullet, but that's the idea. But really, the citizen shouldn't.
And why are we the only country who just keeps shooting people?
Well, we have a lot of guns.
Well, we have a lot of guns. So do the Swiss.
And more other countries are doing it. It's like they follow America. That's a big problem. I don't know what's going to happen under Biden-Harris, you know, but I have hope that there won't be this glorification of the gun as the most important thing in an American's rights is the right to carry a gun. That has been
the enshrined right
in the Trump administration.
Well, that's actually the gun lobby, who is totally corrupt.
Mm. Yeah.
Stealing millions and millions from the pockets of these poor people out in these trailers.
These amosexuals.
Yeah.
That have no sex life and who are often religious, so they feel that any kind of sexual expression that's a little different than...
They have no money for food,
yeah.
But they pay the dues to the National Rifle Association. Oh, Jesus Christ. And
the gun is an expression of their penis. That's my feeling. I mean, women carry them too,
but women
like to wear strap-ons sometimes. You know, it makes us feel tough. I feel very tough when I wear a strap on. So I would imagine that women feel tough when they strap one on, just like guys. And it's an amosexual thing. And I understand this. I have clients that really eroticize and fetishize guns. And, you know, I try to help them with it. But it's a dangerous fetish. Yes, indeed. And I hope that we can move on to deal with that. You know, of course, under the Trump administration, there's no dealing with that. It's all about the enshrining of the gun as a fetish object.
Here's what I find interesting.
Yeah.
That all these people who have their Ford 150s. Those guys?
Yeah.
They're worried they're going to take away their guns.
Very worried.
Right? When in fact, everything that's happening right now is called TAS. Transportation as a something like that.
Service.
Service, thank you. What that means is you ain't going to have a car no more. How you going to carry your guns around?
Well, open carry, just carry them like a shoulder bag.
Yeah, on your shoulder, that's great.
Yeah.
Or on your horse. But the cars are gone. All of that shit's gone, man. I won't buy that anymore. You know? So invest in that stock.
What stock?
What did I just say was?
TAS.
TAS. Transportation. Transportation as a service. I'm giving a stock thing.
But I don't know what that is.
You know, that means that you should invest in anyone that works with electric cars, including now a revolutionary new, I like to talk about this, new battery. It's called a glass battery. Anybody know about that?
No, tell us.
No? Charges in 1 minute.
Holy shit! Oh, my God.
And goes 1,000 miles.
Wow. That's a long way.
And unlike the regular batteries that you have to charge and recharge and charge, which destroys them, the water battery does not. It goes on forever. I guess. I don't know.
Should we spark one up? Just, you know, because so many states have passed marijuana laws, which I think is really groovy, and Betty Dodson would appreciate it. In fact, I think we should spark one up.
Oh, look at that. Mamia, we need a lighter. Thank you.
Okay, so
I have to get a lighter.
We need a lighter, and the birthday boy has left.
I have left the room.
Right. So you are tuned to the Dr. Susan Block Show, and this is my 25th bedside chat, and it's Max's birthday, the captain of my heart, the love of my life, my hero, my publisher, my partner, my prime mate, and it is the 6th anniversary of the Bonobo Way, which I gave to Max on his birthday 6 years ago. And it's the defeat of the Trumpists. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yes.
Out with the fascists.
And what do we got here?
This is from Mar?
This is from Mar. Is this a gift? Oh, a gift. Oh, it's a special joint.
Thank you, Mar.
Okay, we're going to spark one up because even though there wasn't exactly a blue wave, although I do have blue hair.
It's a mini blue wave.
I made my hair blue. I'm wearing waves on my gauntlets and a kind of wavy bra.
We got that poor man out of there because
Max,
he's
of
not
course,
up to it.
Is... Oh, here's a second. Now we can light the joint on the birthday candles. Let's do that. Let's light the joint on the birthday candles.
Put it down on here.
Move the picture, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Anna.
Anna. Anna's got her mask on. She looks very professional. Yes. Okay. So, happy birthday. So,
Now, in a minute, I'm going to spit on the cake.
Oh, God, yeah, that's true. Did you see that Kardashian or Jenner, she was spitting all over her cake, and the waiter was trying to get out of the way? Maybe we shouldn't blow out the candles just because everybody is going to be eating this cake.
Oh, this is very nice.
Yeah, we could use the book to do it while we sing Happy Birthday.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm going to... have a hit.
Oh, this, yes. Oh, this is coconut.
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 I love coconut lube. Ooh. You know that.
He's that. I know that.
Boom Shiva Shambhala. And good on all you states that passed marijuana laws, medical marijuana.
Oh, here we go. We have a blow it out blowjob can.
Oh, here we go. Blow it out blowjob can.
This is very high tech. It's antivirus. And it'll blow the cake away. I hope not.
Okay, so.
Are we ready?
Happy birthday to
me. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Prince Max. Happy birthday to you. And happy anniversary, Bonobo Way. Perfect.
Oh,
you see, Kendall Jenner should have had one of these things. Duster, electronic duster. Absolutely.
Isn't that great?
That really worked well. That was beautiful. Happy birthday, Prince Max.
Oh, look at that.
And that was our engineer, Abe's idea. And, of course, Abe was a banana last year for Halloween.
Yes.
So he's very bonobo and comes up with good ideas.
Okay, we're
my
gonna...
Gemini brother.
We're going to go eat now. We have...
well, we've got 10 stuff. More minutes.
Oh, 10 more minutes.
Yeah,
okay.
So we're still on the show. But you could cut the cake if you want.
Cut the cake?
Well, we're smoking a joint. Yeah.
Okay, I'm smoking a joint.
Because it's COVID, we're not sharing. Sorry, guys. But we're...
Oh, look at
this. Oh, and I didn't sign it. Wow. Okay, I guess...
Benson and Hedges. That's what my dad and mom used to smoke.
We have to sign this. I have to sign this.
Who is this
to?
This
is to you.
To me.
The Cabinet Cigar.
Wow, look at that.
Like, show it to the camera. Oh. We can look at it later.
Here you go. Look at that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that is all about, but something, it's a present.
Yes.
It's a present. It's a good present. It's very nice.
It's an ad?
It's not quite as big a deal as Trump losing the election. Now, he's not conceding, by the way. He is too conceited to concede.
Thank you.
Maybe he thinks that the word concede means to be conceded, so he figures, I'm already conceded. Why do I have to concede? But... A lot of people, because he's not conceding, are also not acknowledging the transfer of power. So it's a struggle ahead, both to legitimatize this new presidency, as well as to, I would say, persuade, in a bonobo way, this new presidency to go the way of Prince Max and the resistance and the progressives in the resistance, as opposed to all the Republicans in the resistance. I mean, hey, you guys, I'm all for, you know, reaching across the aisle, but you gotta not reach into my body and control my ovaries, okay? So... Pack the courts if you have to, Joe. Right?
Yep.
And let's re-examine that Sestafosta,
well,
Kamala.
If we don't, okay, if we don't, these guys are going to take us back to the, I don't know what age.
And Kamala, she said it. She said she would consider decriminalizing prostitution. I'm going to hold you to that, girl. I can call her girl, right? Because she talks like that.
Right.
Wear sneakers and stuff.
Right. Wear sneakers. Right. Okay.
But Joe Biden said that guy didn't call him boy, that Strom Thurmond. Jesus. Joe, don't. I think one of Joe's greatest strengths during this electoral function, it wasn't a dysfunction like 4 years ago. One of his greatest strengths was that he didn't speak that much. He kept it minimal, you know, and sometimes that is the smartest thing to do, and he did not talk too much, you know. If he had, we might not be celebrating tonight, but we are. And Joe, as he himself puts it, he is a transitional figure. Now,
Brothers and sisters.
Which is very true and very honest.
Mates and primates. Lovers and sinners.
Whoa,
I want to tell you that if we don't play this right, and we probably won't, because that's the nature of the human. If we don't play this right, we're going to piss off a lot of people, and then the Republicans will come back into power in 4 years.
Ugh.
We got to play it right. Now, I guess Obama kind of played it right in his way. He had a great personality. And, you know, he did some fucked up things, like the invasion. he did the surge in Afghanistan. And by the way, I just want to give some props
straight
to our man Joe, because I've been calling him a warmonger, and he kind of is. But at the same time, he's not a total warmonger. And he did oppose Obama's surge in Afghanistan, which, of course, did not work and cost a lot of lives, American and Afghan.
Cake. There's cake here.
And, yeah, there's cake. Anybody want cake? Let them eat cake! Yeah. Gideon wants some cake.
Five minutes.
I thought he was raising his hand for cake. And he's trying to tell me 5 minutes.
We have more food.
Okay, and we have lots of food. Look at this food. Look. Oh, my God. This is, no, you know what? This is obnoxious. This is what the Kardashians and Kendall Jenner got in trouble for. I'm serious, you guys. Okay, this is not a real lobster.
It was on sale.
This is...
It was going to expire today.
Oh, please. So, you know, the Kardashians broadcasting all their riches. Okay, so obnoxious.
Oh.
And I think that's really good that the people are rebelling against the broadcast of riches. I think that is so great of social media.
You don't need any of that. You don't need
Not only do you not need it, but you will be dragged for it. And if you want to drag me for the lobster,
do we have forks?
The cake is just a cake.
That was on sale.
And, I mean, really, there's not a lot of glitz here. There's a lobster, okay. And then there's Trump, who's got a cabinet against his face. I'm going to smack him. You know what?
Oh, wait.
You.
Okay, careful, careful.
Okay,
careful.
I'm going to be careful.
Careful, careful.
I'm going to... Whoa. I'm going to smack him, if you
careful.
Don't mind, Max.
No, I don't.
Okay. Mind. Oh, he's got the spanker. Actually, this bonobo whey is going to be an even higher price than a regular bonobo whey because it's used. That's right. Now, I'm spanking you now because you're taking advantage of your cult members by telling them you're going to use their money to sue the states for the vote. Come on, man or baby. Please, I got a hand between my legs. What is this, a puppet show? Yeah. Well, it's the Bonobo Way anniversary in addition to Max's birthday.
3 minutes. 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes.
End. As America's choke holder.
Yeah. Go to our new shopping experience.
Go to a new home, maybe with bars on it, Donald. Enough of you. Enough of you occupying my mind, putting a choke hold on
and
my
Hillary Clinton.
Neck.
Hillary Clinton for Attorney General.
Oh, I hope so. I hope she'll do it. I hope she'll go against him. Feel the burn. I would like Bernie to be something. Come on.
He'll be something.
He should be something. He's so great. Oh, I hate those people who are saying that the progressive end is bad. But anyway, we'll talk more about this later.
But there's
everybody
a center, wants to eat. Centrist. Let's go eat.
Yeah. So
let's go eat.
So we got to say, you know, this is it. Where's, okay. Happy birthday. Can you give
Happy
me a kiss?
Yes, sure.
I don't know if the microphone was blocking us, but
well,
we were kissing.
And we're married 28 years and counting. And, you know, this is my hero. This is the love of my life. This is my honey. I just think you're the greatest.
The pursuit of happiness.
And yeah, the pursuit of happiness has
to
led
live
me
a good life,
to
a,
Max.
A pleasant life.
Because I'm not by nature really a happy person, but Max makes me happy. Max makes me happy. He makes a lot of people happy. And that's such a gift. You know, he's made people happy with his magazines. He makes people happy with his stories. He makes me happy with his words and his touch and his...
And the thing.
And the thing, right, yeah. His penis, right, his Zoom dick. That makes me really, really happy. That made me happy this morning. Yeah, you gotta keep having sex all through your life. Some kind of sex. It doesn't have to be the quote-unquote normal kind.
Yeah.
But isn't that a secret? That's
right.
One of those secrets to longevity. Is a little bit of sex, you know, or maybe not a lot. Just
and innocence.
Goodness.
Innocence. Keep your innocence.
What does that mean?
Be a child.
Be a child.
Yeah. Don't grow up.
I don't know.
If you grow up,
that could be taken the wrong way.
I'm
sorry. I couldn't help it. No, but you're right. I mean, you should be childlike, not childish. Tyrannical toddler, okay? Be childlike, and that's being bonobo. Isn't that being bonobo?
Right.
We're back. I'd sort of like to promote this now.
Yes. Oh, here we are back. This book, if you follow the words in this book.
Oh, and here's Chico.
It might.
In this book.
It's possible.
You know, you should release your inner animal, and here's an animal. This is Chico.
Oh. Hello. Hi, Chico.
And he's dressed in blue. For your birthday. Yeah.
We won.
He's also dressed in blue because he's a Democrat. I think he voted. And I know Trump would be upset that he voted. But I'm sorry, Trump, but, you know.
He was worried about the dogs would be voting.
Right, right. And if you think I'm telling the truth, well, let me sell you a Trump tower.
We're down to zero.
Okay, we're down to zero. So... make like bonobos, not baboons, okay? Don't be a Trumpanzee. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. We love you. Happy birthday, Max. Happy anniversary, Bonobo Way. Happy America, Trump-free.
To talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else, you can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.